Everybody, welcome back to the Indiscriminate News Network. Let's start with some news from China. So Xi Jinping's most senior diplomat issued a pointed warning to President Joe Biden about China's red lines on Tuesday when he addressed business leaders and experts at a U.S.-China advisory body. The remarks made by high-ranking Politburo member Yang Jiechi, a past Chinese ambassador to Washington, were full of Communist Party jargon, a former Pentagon officer. Official told Newsweek. Other observers have concluded that Yang was very much playing to a domestic audience of one. The Trump administration adopted misguided policies against Beijing, he said. At the start of his near half an hour virtual address in New York-based National Committee on U.S.-China Relations, he said, Cold War thinking has left bilateral ties the most difficult period since formal relations that began more than four decades ago. A result you attribute to so-called China hawks who believe they're responsible for Washington's strategic misjudgment of China as a competitor or adversary. Despite Beijing's insistence that recent U.S. policies on China were solely the result of previous administration and vocal critics such as President Donald Trump and Secretary Mike Pompeo, Biden's Democratic foreign policy team has largely been in alignment with the key areas concerning security, trade, and technology. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken is among a new cabinet members who recently spoken about bipartisan issues relating to China's policy, including Beijing's crackdown on democracy in Hong Kong, as well as widely reported human rights violation against the Uyghur Muslims and Turkic minorities in China's northwest region of Xinjiang. More trash talking. Okay. This is from UPI.com. So South Korea to renew stance on military exercises with the U.S. So review. South Korea will determine its stance on upcoming joint military exercise in the U.S. to avoid a serious problem with North Korea. Unification Minister Lee In said on Wednesday. The government's review will consider issues that include COVID-19 and the Biden administration's policies toward North Korea will be in line with denuclearization and a permanent peace settlement on the Korean Peninsula. Pyongyang has consistently condemned the joint exercises characterized as hostile and a rehearsal for invasion. In January, North Korea leader Kim Jong-un called for the end of the drills at a party congress, saying they violated military agreements with the two Koreas in 2018. North Korea has used a military exercise in the past as a pretext for conducting weapon tests of its own, as observers are wondering whether Pyongyang is planning any provocations and welcoming a new administration, U.S. President Joe Biden. That's a good point. I do like provoking each other. So, India defends digital tax opposed by Washington and U.S. tech giants. India's Trade Secretary has defended the country's recent introduced digital tax and maintaining that online commerce and other revenues must be taxed in some form. The tax has been objected by U.S.-based tech firms and Washington. Speaking during a tech news briefing in New Delhi on Wednesday, Indian Trade Secretary Anup Wadhawan stood by the digital tax, which included the country's new annual budget. The 2% equalization duty, 2% tax introduced last year, affects foreign e-commerce companies, including those who do not own the goods directly provide any services online. Amazon. Such companies should be liable for the tax at any part transactions that are involved occur online. So kind of like a double tax. Fees and technical service, however, are excluded from taxation. So alongside tariff disputes, digital taxation has been a major issue with India's relation with the U.S. lately has been one of the primary obstacles for a trade deal between the two nations, which has been the subject of negotiations around a year. Also, it sounds like that's the huge barrier between moving a lot of production to India from China is the taxation. This is from Sony. Sony just boosted booming profits but told customers to expect more PS5 delays. Sony has raised its full-year profit outlook by one-third, helped by the pandemic-fueled demand for games, movies, and electronics, but said it was struggling to build enough PlayStation 5 consoles amidst a global shortage of semiconductors. It's literally the same story every single time a new console comes out. Every single time. The Japanese electronics entertainment conglomerate said Wednesday that some customers may have to wait longer for their consoles as it competes for chips with other businesses ranging from smartphones makers to car companies. There's a way to get there. You want to make some money, go into silicon, go into semiconductors. It's difficult for us to increase production of the PS5 amid the shortage of semiconductors around the world. This comes amid chaos that already associated with the PS5 launch and its release in November. The console quickly sold out online in retail stores in US, Europe, and Japan thanks to demand for video games for people stuck at home from the coronavirus lockdown. There's that big issue with the reseller bots basically buying up a lot of stuff. Despite the shortage of components and problems associated with the PS5 launch, Sony still expects to sell more than 7.6 million consoles by the end of March. The shift to new games consoles is expected to encourage gamers to move online, downloads, or subscription services, helping Sony boost profitability of the gaming unit. Okay. This is out of Miramar. China blocks UN from condemning Miramar coup. China has so far stopped short of criticizing the coup in Miramar that threw a democratically elected government and now blocked the UN security from formally condemning it. The UN Special Envoy for Miramar, Christine Schraner Bergner, briefed the Security Council on the events on Monday when the American military rounded up political to seize the country. So on Monday, Miramar took it over. Here we go. China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi, China is one of few world powers yet openly criticizing the coup. So they didn't say a word about it, with state media downplaying it as a cabinet reshuffle.
Oh, God, that's hilarious. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to go off here. This big one here. Bezos is actually resigning as a CEO. So Amazon.com founder Jeff Bezos will step down as CEO and become executive chairman, naming the head of its lucrative cloud computing division as a successor, transforming from a web retailer to an internet conglomerate. So this summer, Bezos will hand the keys over to the world's largest online retailer, to Andy Jassy, head of its cloud division at Amazon Web Services, known as AWS. So there's a direction that they want to take the company, cloud services. Bezos is ending his CEO on a high note. The business began on the internet bookseller 27 years ago. It's now one of the world's most valuable companies and posted three consecutive record profits after losing in decades prior. On Tuesday, Amazon reported quarterly sales above $100 billion for the first time. So Jassy joined Amazon in 97 after Harvard Business School, founding AWS and growing into a cloud platform used by millions of customers. I think he's stepping down for other reasons too. Amazon's getting a lot of heat from governments around the world about anti-competitive behavior. Okay, everybody. Thanks for listening. It's Jason with the Indiscriminate News Network. Take care and hear from you soon. Thanks. Bye.